I think they like you, Steve.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. You know, sometimes in life you pick the wrong person, and then you have an opportunity later on to get it right. I'd like to thank Nexstar for not giving up on us. Announced mere seconds ago, Nexstar has come to a deal with the Tribune Media Company to buy Tribune Media. They were the runner-up last time when Sinclair bought this company. Sinclair, of course, blew that deal up through their own boorish activities and behavior. And now the process will happen where Sinclair will try to finalize the deal and should Sinclair will try to finalize their own deal. Yeah. Nexstar will try to finalize the deal to get this done and own Tribune Media. So I believe this is a good thing.
Good.
I didn't believe the last one was a good thing. I believe this is a good thing.
Do you have any history with this company? That you've spent a lot of time.
No, I've been thrown out of a lot of places.
That's what I was trying
to. But never a Nexstar property.
I was trying to recall that phrase that you used. Yeah, getting thrown out of a lot of
different places. Yeah, no, it's true.
In the story that Steve Grzanich sent us yesterday, it said that they have a very good relationship with the FCC.
I would think this will still take, 6 months, maybe longer. They've got to run a lot of this by Dave.
I'll make time for them.
So I don't know how you have time, Dave, with your schedule. But that's just breaking news, which is why I bring it up off the top. Obviously, the major news story of the day and the weekend and the past several days is the passing of George H.W. Bush. And some personal thoughts on that coming up later. And also memories of the president, which will happen throughout the day as his body lies in state in the Capitol Rotunda for the next 3 days. And the only one on this show who's had that experience, I believe, is you, Dave. When as a boy, you filed past the casket of John F. Kennedy.
Well, here's what happened. I went to the saw the procession with the casket being taken to the Capitol.
Okay.
And then stood in line for hours, and I was 8 years old, I think, stood in line for hours outside the Capitol on a bitterly cold November day, waiting to get into the Capitol Rotunda to see the casket. And finally, after hours, my friend's dad said, okay, we're just never getting in. And so I didn't actually see it there, but I saw it, and I'll never forget it. I saw the caisson on Pennsylvania Avenue carrying the flag-draped casket of the president.
That was the morning of little John F. Kennedy saluting, right?
No, this was actually in the Sunday. This was the day that Jack Ruby was killed. It was all at the same time.
Yeah, I imagine those days. And you were how old? 7, 8 years old?
I was 8. Yeah. And it's the thing that sticks in my mind is the riderless horse alongside the caisson.
The funeral itself has 220 pages of planning that go into it from the government. 120 pages written by the Bush family in and of themselves. President Trump and Melania Trump will be there. There were those who suggested that President Bush not have them attend. He insisted on it because it's the right thing to do for the president of the United States to attend the funeral of a president that's gone. And over the weekend, one of the people that spoke most about it was Jim Baker, one of the more underrated people in politics in our lifetime. And Jim Baker was President Bush's best friend. And when he went over to see the president on Friday, and it was not doing well, and it was clear that it was nearing the end. He walked in, and the president was told that Mr. Baker was there. And as Baker tells the story, he said, "Bake, where are we going today?" And he said, "Mr. President, we're going to heaven." And he said, "President Bush said, good, that's where I want to go." And a short time later, he passed. So we should all be so lucky to go that peacefully.
There's a touching,
with your best friend at your side.
There's a touching photo that has been posted on social media by the former spokesperson for Mr. Bush, Jim McGrath. It's of the flag-draped coffin with a yellow Labrador retriever lying in front of it. That's Sully, George Bush's service dog.
Yeah, and Sully is part of a Pets for Vets thing. That's not the specific name. I think it's American Vets Pets or something. And I'll get to the specific because I tweeted it out this morning as well. It's an amazing picture. Yeah, it's amazing. And this dog will now be reassigned to take care of vets. I think, Steve, check this out, but I think it Veterans Hospital in D.C., right?
Walter Reed. I think it's going to Walter Reed, yeah.
All right, well, let's jump in here. Top 6 at 6 right now.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Your kicks. Get your kicks. With the top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Happy Hanukkah. Day 2, day 3? I forget. And so do some Jewish friends of mine.
It started yesterday.
Yeah. So day 2. Happy Hanukkah to you and yours. Next. Well, I mean, I don't have anything other than that. The Weather Service reported somewhere between 12 and 22 tornadoes. I've heard 12, I've heard 22. Steve, do we know a number? Not that it matters.
They're still counting them, but I would go with the 22 number. And that means the tornadoes that were briefly on the ground to on the ground for a long time. And they're still trying to determine exactly how strong the storm
is. Like Taylorville got flattened.
Yeah. It's like a Florida special election.
Yeah, that's
the count.
The count.
Yeah. The Taylorville storm is probably going to end up being an EF3 tornado. So for December, that is very rare.
Yeah, and on Saturday, you remember, I'm sure on Saturday, the weirdness of having thunderstorms, thunder and lightning storms on December 1st. Little did we know how bad it was downstate, so we feel for those folks. Any fatalities?
No fatalities, and people who were injured, there were about 25 people injured in Taylorville. Most of those people were released within 24 hours. Just a few of them are still hospitalized.
Next, an agreement over this weekend between President Trump and President Xi of China will give the two leaders some political breathing room. Their trade dispute begins to take a toll. Essentially, it's this. They got 90 days. They agreed over dinner to a 90-day halt in beating each other up. And therefore beating both countries up over the tariff situation. And some money will be saved, but it's a 90-day deal. And it's got to be fixed after that. So it's not a final thing, but it's at least a pause.
The only issue with that, and there's so much that goes into those trade deals, but the big win for the Trump administration is that the Chinese government's going to roll back automobile tariffs from the 40% that it was at. But that only went into effect after this tariff war began. So the main issues of what started a tariff war still have not been identified or dealt with as a solution.
Right.
It's a win for Trump to say, yes, I brought him down, but you brought down the response.
It's like taking DayQuil and thinking your cold is over. No, you're still going to have some problems.
There you go.
Next. And by the way, Dr. Most is coming up. Congratulations to the Northwestern Wildcats. Not on Saturday. Look, it was competitive for a while, and then it wasn't. But congratulations on Dave spending New Year's Eve in San Diego. This is what I'm most excited about, Dave. New Year's Eve in San Diego for you. I may come with you. I may not do the New Year's Eve show now.
Well, the thing that's most disappointing to me about it is I can't be at your New Year's Eve show again this year.
Okay. I almost feel like you were pulling for Ohio State just so you could skip the New Year's Eve show.
No, I don't think I would go that far. But no, it's going to be good. It's going to be a tough matchup. Utah's really good, so this will be a tough game for him.
And I thought the really good thing that Coach Fitz said after the game was this shows our players who are going to be here next year and the year after that what you need to do to get it done.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I think they've come a long way, but they realize that, look, Ohio State's really good. And Ohio State, if they hadn't lost to Purdue, I think they probably would have had their name called yesterday by the selection committee instead of Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. But it is what
and
it
I
is.
Don't,
it's
and
a coin flip.
For the record, yeah, and you know, they don't listen to me, but I think Ohio State should have gone instead of Oklahoma, personally.
Yeah, but
Oklahoma doesn't play as tough a schedule as Ohio State,
right,
in my opinion.
But one of the criteria, supposedly, is you just can't afford a blowout.
You can't get blown out. So, thanks, Purdue. Big Ten's out. Thanks. I want to know what Coach Fitz said at halftime, because the Wildcats came out at halftime and it was inspired football. You thought that game was over. They were talking in the halftime show, Dave. I know you're in the booth, so you're doing your own. They were talking on whatever channel it was,
Fox,
about how they're going to run up the score. Wanstead actually said, "There's no way they're." I said something like, "There's no way they're going to lose this game now." So it really just comes down to how big they win by. And to see the Cats come out like that and make it a 3-point game, it was great, and it made me think, like, what did Coach do to inspire them at halftime?
Well,
by the way, if I was Fox, I like Wani. I like him personally. Mm-hmm. I think he's done a nice job on TV.
He has.
Having said that, if I was Fox, I would tell him, don't ever say that again at halftime.
I know, right?
Don't ever say at halftime, this game is over.
Especially a guy who's got it, who
and now, see,
eight
I hadn't heard
Chicago.
He said that. Yeah. That's what he said.
Yeah.
Wow, that's unfortunate. Especially, he ought to know because he's watched this team all year doing BTN stuff. And against Notre Dame, it was the same thing. They were down 24-7, got within three. Yeah. And it's a touchdown game in the fourth quarter.
I don't know who I was rooting for more, the Cats or Dave Wanstead, to be wrong.
next. Alaska, the earthquake aftershocks continue in what was a huge, huge quake. A 7.0 earthquake struck near Anchorage, and it's the strongest in Alaska in quite some time. I guess I'm naive about this. I didn't realize how many quakes Alaska gets. It's like a part of the regular day.
Yeah. And those emergency room doctors having to perform surgery during the earthquake that they were talking about.
It's crazy.
Yeah, that's...
Because right. What you don't want with your surgeon is shaky hands.
Shaky tables.
Roads and bridges in Alaska have collapsed in many places, including roads in and out of the airport. So it's a mess there continued. But again, amazingly, were there any deaths?
I haven't heard a word about it.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah,
a 7.0 earthquake?
Yeah.
And
it's great.
And the earthquake happened in a lucky area for tsunamis. If it had happened a little further out into the water, it would have been potentially disastrous from a tsunami point of view. But the way that Anchorage is set up and the way that this earthquake hit, it just did not produce a tsunami, which is, remember that earthquake back in the 60s, I believe. That just it was an 8-point-something earthquake and just created a giant tsunami and killed a bunch of people. That's the big threat there, is the earthquake plus tsunami.
And Justin's Chicago Accent Challenge show went fine last night. Better than fine. Went well. He'll give you a full breakdown on that coming up.
Also, we might have a giant Lincoln coming in studio.
Do we know if he's coming or not?
He's here.
Big-headed Lincoln coming in here in just a second. So I would highly advise you to hit the stream at WGNradio.com and watch the video.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
All right, now, in studio is Corey Jobe. Corey, what's your fancy title?
I'm the director of the Illinois Office of Tourism.
Nice to see you.
It's great to see you.
It's
happy
a very
Monday morning.
Happy
and
birthday.
And happy birthday, Illinois.
200 years.
200 years.
I think the history. Dave, you covered this.
Yes.
But 200 years ago, when Illinois became a state, everybody thought... I give it 6 months, maybe a year. And here we are 200 years later.
Who'd have thought?
So congratulations.
Yes. We're celebrating with a big party tonight at Navy Pier.
Ooh, speaking of big.
And I brought Big Lincoln.
Big Lincoln is here.
Big Lincoln is in the house.
If you're watching a video stream, that's not my head, though they are the same size. That actually is Big Lincoln. Big-headed Lincoln.
That's the official.
Did Lincoln have a big head, do we know?
No, I don't think so.
Have you ever seen the top hat?
That's creepy, man.
The top hat from the museum?
I've seen the top hat from the museum.
Yeah. And but generally speaking, you can't try it on, right? You can't just reach in and try it on?
No. So this is Big Lincoln's our official mascot of the Illinois Office of Tourism. He's been all over the world.
Oh, speaking of hats that don't fit, his hat just fell off.
Yeah. I think it's windy in here.
It could be the breeze.
This has been a year-long program for you guys, the bicentennial, the birth of Illinois. Mm-hmm. This is the actual birthday. How's it feel to have that culmination, to be here on the actual birthday?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a fantastic year. It's been many organizations. Obviously, a lot of great projects have been accomplished. A couple of great partners. Wintrust Bank has really helped the commission, the Illinois Office of Tourism. We've promoted the year with, really pushing travel to our historic sites, some key attractions around the state. We've created a lot of great new video content and editorial content through a program we've called 200 Years, 200 Stories. And it's just another way to showcase and highlight all the great things that are born, built, and grown in Illinois. And it's been a fun year. And now today's the day. It's our 200th
birthday. After tonight, you're off for the rest of the year.
I'm never off.
Yeah, that's right, because there's still holiday celebrations to happen. I can't help but notice that Big Lincoln hasn't said much since he came in.
No, he doesn't talk.
A handsome devil,
though. But he does stare, and that's the part.
You creeped out, Sandberg, at all? He seems to be looking
on. I am, but he does have blue eyes. So
yeah. He has piercing blue eyes.
He has more hair than I thought.
Oh, he's having a good hair day.
He's having a great hair day.
He's a little more bald.
Yeah, it's feeling good. So we're going to take a picture or two because I literally have never seen a picture where my head's the smaller head in the picture. It's exciting for me.
Well, you know, we're doing a lot of big things today. So we've got Big Lincoln. Tonight, Governor Rauner and Governor-elect J.B. Pritzker will be cutting a cake, 1,000 pounds of cheesecake.
Wait, hold on a second.
1,000 pounds of cheesecake.
They're appearing together?
They are.
Are they doing the wedding thing where they smash the cake at each other's face?
I don't know. I'm not in charge of that. But
be kind of cool wrapping up the campaign that way.
Our friends at Eli's, Mark Shulman and his team, they did a 500-pound cheesecake for the Constitution Day in Springfield in August. And they're doubling it, 1,000 pounds.
Well, you brought us a 47-pound cheesecake.
Sure did. Yes, we brought you a really good cheesecake.
It was very nice of you.
Yeah. So a lot of great things happening tonight.
And what are you doing during the day today? With Big Lincoln's just going to wander around the city?
He's going to just pop up here and there all over town today.
A lot of photo ops for Big Lincoln.
Big Lincoln's going to be very busy.
It's got to be so much better, Big Lincoln, than when you were president, because there had to be that whole thing with a black curtain that went over the photographer, and then there was an explosion. You know, it's so much easier now. It's just a guy with a phone.
A guy with a phone.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So, Corey, congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
People can still go by the website and see everything that's been done and will be done.
They can. EnjoyIllinois.com/200 is the official website of EnjoyIllinois.com to support the bicentennial. Still a lot of great things happening. We have a bicentennial passport program that's just getting ready to wrap up. But really, today is the big day, and tonight the party at Navy Pier. Buddy Guy, REO Speedwagon.
Nice.
Jim Cornelius will be there singing the national anthem. And,
well, why don't you bring Cornelius in, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that'll be great. I don't want you to get his name wrong. He's sensitive.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. You got a lot on your mind. You got a lot on your mind.
And no coffee yet.
Yeah. We didn't offer you coffee.
Oh, you did. I said no.
Okay. Thanks for the cheesecake. Thanks for coming by, and happy to be your partners in this.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for having us on this morning.
Big Lincoln. Thanks, buddy.
Big Lincoln. High five. Right, Air 5. Back with the news in a second on 720 WGN.
Doctor.
Well, we miss anyone?
Is Northwestern Medicine BP? Call Dr. Most right now.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. We thank the people at Northwestern Medicine for giving Doc a thumbs up to come and hang out with us. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing fine. You have one of your winter colds?
I do. Nasty cold. You get on too many airplanes, you end up with colds.
Yeah, you've been flying a lot.
A little bit.
Super Joe has a winter cold as well.
You okay, Super Joe? You playing hurt?
Yeah, I'll be all right.
Okay.
Thanks for asking, though.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
I'm as healthy as a horse.
Bringer.
Yeah. Well,
how's your jaw?
Well, yeah, that's true. That's a great point. Doc, I know you're not feeling well, Doc, but let's talk about me.
How about Dave's toe first?
Dave's got a toe?
Dave wasn't on last week, and he thought he broke his toe a couple weeks ago.
Oh, that's right. Well, you got a broken toe up, Dave?
Well, it feels much better, Doc. Thanks for asking. It has not been. I've been able to run, and it hasn't bothered me very much.
So. Are you running on the other nine toes? I mean, how are you doing this?
No, it's funny because if I put on really hard shoes, I feel it. Otherwise, it doesn't really bother me.
So you were running in wingtips?
I was running in. Yeah, that's when I decided that was a bad idea.
Yeah, it's terrible. Shin splints. Sorry, Doc, since you were asking, this TMJ thing.
Yeah.
Is there anything I could do for my face? See how he set you up there?
For your face or for your TMJ?
Well, it's part of my face, you know.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, the big thing is try not to eat foods that really make your jaw work a lot. So, you know.
Is that forever?
No. Just for you know, maybe a week or two, hopefully.
Yeah, we're at 2 weeks
now. But every time you
go
back, it's kind of like you sprained your arm, and you say, gosh, I went out and threw 50 pitches. I wonder why my arm still hurts. It's the same thing. That's a joint that's inflamed right now. So stay away from, like, taffy, jerky, things that you really have to work to chew on, and just try to ease it up a little bit.
Okay.
It's time for the smoothie part of your life, Steve.
Yeah.
So basically strained vegetables a few years early?
Yeah, I mean, anything that you're not going to really be working hard to eat. Mm-hmm. You know, big sandwiches where you have to open your jaw really wide to get it in there. You know, just try to think of it as a joint that's been overused that you want to settle down.
Abigail Grace is over all weekend, and, you know, she likes the macaroni and cheese. Maybe I just make extra for me.
There you go.
You'd make a good mac and cheese, you'd make a lot of people happy.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. All right, time change. This sounds like, it doesn't sound like there'd be a big deal by setting the clocks back, but all over the world now. All over the world, people are joining in on this. Why do we change the clocks? Let's just leave it at one standard time each year. And you're here to tell me there's some health implications with this?
Yeah, you know, when you look at, was this for the farmers? Was this because of the war? Were we trying to save electricity? Forget all of that stuff, and let's just look at the health-related issues with it. And we do. We know that there's an issue called seasonal affective disorder, which we see in the winter. It has to do, and we see it in the summer as well, but more prevalent in the winter. But it has to do with these time changes and our exposure to sunlight during our daily lives.
The symptoms for SAD are what?
Yeah, now think about this. When you're going into the winter now, low energy, weight gain, you feel tired, you sleep a lot, you're craving high-carb foods, you feel sluggish, difficulty concentrating. Everyone's probably checking it off going, yep, I got that, yep, I got that. Because at this time of the year, a lot of us fall somewhere on the spectrum of seasonal affective disorder.
How do you know it's not holiday stress?
It could be. A lot of it can be holiday stress. A lot of it can be, quote-unquote, the winter blues. But if this continues and goes beyond, people have holiday stress until they're done with their shopping. Then that stress should be gone. Or they have the stress all the way up until the holidays, but then the holidays are gone. The stress should then be gone. But, in fact, we see this continue all the way up until we almost do the time change again in the spring.
You know how it's been colder, and we had like earlier winter even before it became winter? Does that help kick off seasonal affective disorder earlier since it's been winter already?
Absolutely. So there's two things that go with seasonal affective disorder. One is the darkness portion of it, and two is the cold. The cold because we're not getting outside and we're not doing things. And even if we're outside for a portion of the day where there's some sunlight, we're getting that. When it's cold, no one wants to go out. So when we get that early blast of cold, we have more people staying inside now and doing less activities, and it just kicks in even earlier this year.
Yeah, Mother Nature owes us a month. October sucked.
November, too, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Come on, Mother Nature. All right.
Well,
so
it was 70 when I got in the airplane yesterday in Raleigh.
Why'd you come back?
That's a very good question.
All right. So the serious part of this question is one that I think affects a lot more people than, you know, we're willing to admit or talk about or people talk about. And that's if you already have depression. Can you get SAD or they separate or what?
Yes, absolutely. As a matter of fact, most psychiatrists and family docs and internists who treat patients with depression, they really get concerned at this time of the year. Because if you have depression already and then you put this environmental change on top of it, it can actually even make the depression deeper. So those are the patients that you really have to keep your eye on and you really have to watch closely and try to encourage them to start to do more activities at this time of the year.
Yeah, we'll take a break, come back. I want to get Justin in on this because he appears to be too happy and I'd like to have him get a little more seasonal affective disorder.
So happy.
And also, what sort of things can you do to treat it? Do I need a bunch of these fancy rock lamps I can buy on Amazon that I put all over the house? Back with Dr. Kevin Most, playing hurt, fighting a head cold, flying all over the country, taking care of business, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts here.
Doc, we're talking about SAD, the seasonal affective disorder. You know, is there ever a time, because you'll hear politicians talk about the concept of changing this for economic reasons or changing it because it's out of date or there might be a chance where we just see daylight savings go away. Is there a chance that the medical community could be the reason that SAD is such a thing that it forces politicians to move on it?
Yeah, well, there's two things there, Justin. One is the seasonal affective disorder absolutely could. The other is we know that when we change, we have a higher incidence of stroke. We have a higher incidence of heart disease for those first couple of days when we change. So could we make an argument for health-related? We absolutely could. It's just a matter of whether the politicians look at it. You know, when you look at seasonal affective disorder, and it's, you know, about 20% of the population will be almost diagnosed with it, and yet I'll say it impacts probably close to 40% of the population, something we should consider.
So what do you do?
Well, you know what the big thing is? You know, the reason that we get it is there's two chemicals in our brain, serotonin and melatonin, and they're serotonin is a pleasure drug, a pleasure chemical that's stimulated when we see sunlight, and melatonin is one that helps our mood as well as regulates our sleeping patterns. And when we don't get enough sunlight, those are going to get screwed up. So the biggest and
that's
probably
a technical medical term, right? Screwed up.
Yeah, yeah. The biggest thing that we could probably do, and the easiest thing we can do, is like you were saying, you know, the light therapy. So photolight therapy is one thing that's been proven, especially for people who don't want to take medication, who don't want to do some of these other things. Then probably the light therapy is the one that's going to work the best.
And what is it? What is the light we're sitting under?
Yeah, it's a box. It's just a white box, actually. Now, you have to be careful because the FDA does not, it's not a food, it's not a drug, so they don't regulate it. So you have to make sure that you get one that is specific for seasonal affective disorder. You might ask your doctor about it, but it's going to have 10,000 lux of light and as little as UV light as possible because we don't want to do any damage to our eyes by looking in it. So, and the other thing is you have to do it for, you know, 30 minutes in the morning when you wake up. That's going to be the start of your day. Well, a lot of us sit around and have coffee for 30 minutes, so to have that light close to them during that time would be pretty easy.
I'm looking at the Verilux Happy Light Compact Personable Portable Light Therapy on Amazon, $39.95. You Prime members will get it free, same-day delivery.
Yeah, and Verilux is a very good company that has a good focus on this, actually.
And Jeff Bezos now owes me something for plugging his, you know, because he needs the money.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah.
I just want to clarify, the text line says Steve does not have TMJ. He has a TMJ joint. He has TMJ syndrome. And that they're suggesting a soft diet for 6 weeks, Steve, and there's exercises.
What are exercises? Because what I found online is just tracing my jaw with my fingers.
It's a lot. Have you seen Rocky II? It's a lot of that kind of hitting meat. You got to hit meat.
Do I have to chase a chicken?
You have to chase a chicken. You have to run around. You have to pull like an ox. You have to.
It's lightning, Rock. You got to get speed.
Right. That's all for the TMJ syndrome.
TMJ.
TMJ.
TMJ is completely different.
Completely different.
And again, Doc, just so we were clear on this, punching me in the other side of the face to even things out doesn't work,
doesn't
right?
Work.
Well, you know, it might work. It might make the other side hurt, and you'll forget about the other one.
Oh, but, sure.
Probably not the best idea.
That's so it's worth a try.
That's my thanks. That's my paper from pain transfer therapy that never really got the academic respect it deserved.
Correct.
All right, you going to take care of yourself? We're worried about you now.
No. Don't worry about me. It's just a little cold, and I will be better by the next time we talk, I assure you.
All right. Well, if you need anything, call me, and I'll try to find someone.
You got it.
That's Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts here in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Is where Steve is next.
Bears have to get to the 48. What's coming? Daniel in trouble. Just lets it fly. Going deep for Gabriel. Knocked away! And the Giants win it!
An animal!
Dan Hampton anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
Well, you know, for one day, for a few moments, in the middle of this great season, after the way overtime ended, you just felt like the Bears fight song should have been wah, 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 because that last 90 seconds of the regular was so good, so spectacular, so weird.
So lucky.
That you figured overtime is set up, there's no way these guys can lose, but they did. Good morning, Ham.
Well, you're exactly right. It was must-see TV. It was exciting, and you got to give the kids a lot of credit. Man, they fought long and hard yesterday. But hey, it was a bad day in the Big Apple. You know, some bad coaching decisions. Forgetting about Jordan Howard in the second half. Hey, the quarterback had a bad day. Just, you know, the kid. There's a reason he's the backup. And the thing that really got me was the disappearance of the defense in the third quarter, giving up two touchdowns, and you add it all together, and hey, it was the trap game a lot of people were worried about. You know, hey, they took the day off, maybe. You know, I mean, who else took the day off last week? Somebody on Friday? Oh, that's right, it was you. You know, it was easy to kind of get caught up in it, and you know, it was the holidays, and hey, the bottom line is everything that we want to strive for, the goals and the playoffs, and hey, everybody in the division lost, so we didn't lose any ground. We've got a game and a half lead with four to go, so it wasn't a flesh wound, it was a paper cut, but at the end of the day, it was a game it would have been great to win.
Sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com, we continue with the Hall of Famer Dan Hampton, and I can get Dave in here in just a second, and Justin and Mary, but listen, I still am convinced that Nagy thinks he's playing Madden 2019, because the call to tie the game was insane. It was a video game call. Now, it worked out, which was fantastic. I was hooting and hollering and yelling at my house. But then he's got Big Thunder. He's got Fridge running in for another touchdown. These are video game moves.
Pretty exciting stuff. And you know what? On one hand, you got to say, hey, this is, you know, pushing the envelope. It's innovative. Yeah, I know about Akeem Hicks. If he was completely healthy, okay, if you think that's going to – but, you know, he was on the injury report with a bad Achilles. I don't want to get caught up in kind of all the sizzle and forget about the steak, because we need Akeem Hicks to be healthy when we get to next Sunday's game against the Rams, and when we have to play in Minnesota at the finale. So a lot of this stuff is really cool. The double reverse throwback drag for the tying touchdown, it was fantastic. You know, Cohen throwing the ball to Anthony Miller. I mean, these are very, very exciting plays. And that would have been a great play to go for two on, you know what I'm saying? And just kind of put the game, you know, away at that moment. But When you strip it all away, we just weren't ready to play early in the game. We made some mistakes, and come on, everybody in the NFL gets a paycheck. They showed up, and they stole one from us.
You know, Dave, my favorite tweet last night.
Mm-hmm.
Tariq Cohen, a Hanukkah miracle.
Well, I'll tell you what. I don't know if any of us thought when the Bears drafted Tariq Cohen that he would be this kind of electric player, because man, he made some catches yesterday that you look at and you're like, there are some outstanding Pro Bowl, perennial Pro Bowl players in the NFL who wouldn't come down with those balls. But Hamp, I got to ask you about the clock management at the end of the first half, where basically the Bears gave the Giants a fourth timeout.
Well, and see, that was our Mueller game-changing moment of the game. And unfortunately, you know, Coach Nagy's had a tendency to kind of poke the bear in the eye a little bit. Let's don't say bear, let's say the tiger in the eye. Because you're asking for trouble, and it was almost like he was getting cute with the Giants basically content to run the ball and run the clock out and go in at halftime down 14-7. He calls timeout after letting the clock run for about 20 seconds, and it was almost like, oh, well, I'm going to make them have to punt, and whether or not we were going to try to block it, which we hadn't blocked one in a long time, and, you know, see if Tariq Cohen could make something happen. Either way, it blew up in his face, because on third down, their superstar running back, got it to fourth and one, where they went for it, and then with just 2 seconds left or whatever, they kicked a 57-yard field goal. And all the momentum, you could tell it was almost like a huge pendulum swung. And a lot of times you're tugging on Superman's cape. You just don't do that. And those are things that Coach Nagy's got to learn. You know, he's never been a head coach where he's making those kind of decisions on when and where to call timeouts. Well, that one blew up in his face for sure.
Justin, that's because he's playing Madden. Yeah. He's playing Madden 2019.
Well, let me ask about the defense, Hamp, because you know there are tons of world beaters. I mean, you've never seen anything like that since the time you played. And then there'll be others where there's blown coverage where they're not covering an Odell Beckham in the end zone. What is this? Is a very Jekyll and Hyde kind of defense yesterday. that we've seen a little bit throughout the year where they could be unbelievably dominant and weak at the same time?
Like I said, this third quarter, that was mysterious how the Giants were invigorated by that field goal, and they came out and they drove it and scored twice. And you're right, losing Odell Beckham, you could lose Shepherd or anybody else, but Beckham, one of the top five receivers in football.
Uncovered,
all I know is that a lot of times, when you start trying to get cute, and a lot of times you start having like specialty calls. Well, a lot of times you play in a soft zone, but a lot of times you have a little man-on-man underneath it inside where you could, clamp down on receivers close to the goal line. Well, obviously, it looked to me like not only did Trevathan turn him loose, but then Adrian Amos just let him run right by him without even, trying to pick him up. But at the end of the day, like I said, this is not a back-breaking loss, but it's a loss that you're going to have to learn from, and they will be well advised to go back and look at this tape and realize that it was right there. All four of the losses this year, when our defense gives up more than 24, and yeah, there was a pick six in there, but it all counts, and they got to put that in their total. When we give up more than 24, we lose. So we've got to find a way to, I don't want to say the offense can't be giving the opponents, touchdowns. We know that. But somehow, some way, the defense has got to find a way to shut those touchdown drives in the third quarter out.
Hey, Hamp, so I know you were on defense, but when they break up into their position rooms and go and watch film, and they look at the drive with the three fumbles and then recoveries, do you get credit for getting the recovery when your offense also made all three of the fumbles?
No, whoever falls on the ball, you get the credit. But I don't know if you guys realize some weird things. There were six converted fourth downs in this game. There were six fumbles by the Bears. Only one of them we lost.
Crazy.
I mean, it was a bizarre game. Holiday hubris and the elements. It was one of those goofy games where you try to find a way to win. And again, like I said at the beginning, it was an amazing effort in the fourth quarter to come back, to get the onside kick, to score, to tie it. And like I said, if we could have won that one, the great Ed Obradovich has said all year, there's something magic going on with this team. Well, Merlin tripped a little bit on his way out of the Meadowlands.
Well, he's got to get that robe tailored. All right, before you go, McCarthy gets fired. The absolute highlight of the Packers season was the second half on opening night against the Bears, and it's frankly mostly been crap since then, including Aaron Rodgers, who has not been Aaron Rodgers all season for whatever the reason. And, of course, he doesn't talk to anybody, including his family. So since we don't know the answers to any of this, McCarthy takes the hit here. Would you have waited till the end of the season?
I think McCarthy's a good coach. And you know what? It won't be very long before you hear about him, showing up over in Cleveland, because the GM is a, ex-Packer, Noble. So, it was untenable. And, a lot of great coaches. And Mike Ditka would even, he coached 9 years here. And at the end, there was a lot of acrimony. I remember in Arkansas with Lou Holtz. A coach can coach anywhere for 10 years. You are doing yourself, a great disservice if you're not looking for another place to go, because it just kind of festers, and you can tell that Aaron Rodgers wants to run that team. Whether he should or not, we're going to find out here in the next year, but obviously they couldn't, live together, so it was a house divided. But you got to remember this: when Aaron Rodgers was hurt last year, the Packers were horrible. When the Packers, didn't have him on the field, against us, they were horrible. So I don't know where good coaching and a great player, where it ends and begins.
Right.
But we're going to find out now.
Rams prep coming up later this week. Great job on the post game as always, and great talking to you. Thanks, Sam.
Hey, I can't wait till Friday. Go Bears! And like I said, this is the must see event of the year for the Chicago Bears fan. It's going to be awesome. Go Bears! Listen.
Sunday night.
Go Bears.
Bears-Rams.
Love it. It's been one of the great joys of my life, my friendship with him. Our arguments were good-natured and open, and we continue to debate things all the way up until recently.
President Bill Clinton and his friend, George H.W. Bush, they had a vicious campaign when Clinton won the White House in 92. George W. Bush ended up introducing the two of them, and George W. Bush said later on that he didn't get it, he didn't understand it, but he loved it. And he said they were brothers from a different mother. George H.W. Bush said, he likes to talk, I like to listen, and I think he sees me as the father that he didn't have grown up. So they had a great relationship, and just one of the tributes coming for the 41st president of the United States, long overdue. And my hope is in this, is that George H.W. Bush now starts to get the credit he deserves as one of the great presidents, because we'll go over the list of what he handled. You might have heard some of it, or if not all of it, all weekend. And it's amazing what he accomplished and what he had the patience and understanding not to wade into in his four short years there. All right, it's 7:29. It's time for the most valuable person on the planet. There are a million charities doing great things, and you hear about most of them this time of year. But I love what Lisa Fisher and the Antioch Traveling Closet do, and we want to recognize Lisa today. Lisa, I don't know if you heard, you're the most valuable person on the planet.
Well, thank you very much. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Happy holidays. And explain the mission.
We would like to make sure that everyone in our community has the basic necessities, toothbrushes, toothpaste, soap, and socks. And as a community, I have a lot of great people that like to donate to the Antioch Traveling Closet because they know it's going right back into the community.
Yeah, and this isn't just homeless folks. These are folks who are living in apartments and homes and places but are really struggling, right?
Correct. We get people from all walks of life. They could be just down on their luck. We get senior citizens, veterans, grandparents that are now taking care of their grandchildren, anyone that's just hard on their luck. We do three giveaways a year at the Antioch Senior Center. They let me use their facility for no charge, which is great. And everything that we have collected, we collect new and slightly used clothing, shoes, winter wear, toiletries, and cleaning supplies. And at our giveaways, we put them all out. I have been able to get 6 to 7 hairstylists that come to each event and give haircuts.
Oh, that's cool.
And they're amazing because they love to do it. As soon as we pick the date, I let them know, and they are on board. They love doing this.
All right, so you're talking about what you do. How you do it now is the question, and how do we help?
We collect everything that is donated comes to my house, much to my husband's dismay, or it goes to the Limerick Lounge in Antioch. And myself and some volunteers, we will go through the donations, and if we accept them, we pack them up and we put them in a storage unit. And what we don't use, we give to the church. So it's being always repurposed.
So if somebody's listening now and they want to help, they drop it off at your house, or how do they find out where that is?
They can contact us on our website, which is AntiochTravelingCloset.org. We are on Facebook as the Antioch Traveling Closet Corporation, NFP. We do also take PayPal. And at our events, we usually get between 350 and 400 people. Each event we do, we get a little bit more.
Thank you. Thank you for the work you're doing, and glad to have you come on and have an opportunity to talk about it. So get back at it, and thank you, Lisa Fisher, from the Antioch, the Antioch Traveling Closet. Website one more time.
It's AntiochTravelingCloset.org.
Happy
thank
holidays.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Have a great day.
Your headlines. Do we need a break? We taking a break? Yeah, quick break. Back with your headlines next on 720 WGN.
I see history as a book with many pages, and each day we fill a page with acts of hopefulness and meaning. The new breeze blows, page turns, the story unfolds, and so today a chapter begins, a small and stately story of unity, diversity, and generosity, shared and written together.
Some of the words of George H.W. Bush. Was he the last great president? Was he the last president to honor the office? Boy, I hope not. And I'm quite sure he would say the same. Ryan Nobles joins us from CNN. I know you guys have been talking about this all weekend, and today the funeral week starts, and it's pretty elaborate, isn't it?
It sure is. I mean, it'll be very similar to what we saw for John McCain not too long ago, even and then some. He's going to be flown, his body will be flown back to Washington sometime today. Then he'll lie in state at the U.S. Capitol starting tomorrow and overnight, and you can expect a large procession of people to come through and pay their respects. There'll be an event at the U.S. Capitol, then the funeral will take place Wednesday at National Cathedral, then it'll be flown back to Houston to be laid to rest at Texas A&M. He was a 94-year-old man who obviously had a long history, so this was something that was in the works for some time, but it will certainly have all the trappings that you would expect someone of his record and his service to our country.
Yeah, and an amazing record, just an absolutely amazing record. I mean, here's a war hero who goes on to run for Congress and lose, then run for Congress and win. Later on, he becomes our ambassador to the UN. He runs the CIA. He's our envoy, special envoy in China. And when he's elected, all he has to do is greet to the Tiananmen Square mess, which he did with balance and patience. And President Trump could take a lesson on Saudi Arabia from that. The Berlin Wall comes down, which could have been just an absolute disaster. The Soviet Union falls, and he specifically ordered no spike in the football. We're not here to celebrate. The Soviet Union's got enough to control right now. And then, of course, taking Saddam out of Kuwait and without allowing that to go any further and not going in to get Saddam, which he took a lot of heat for as well. And in process, that in combination with Ross Perot probably cost him the election. But he made those tough decisions because he felt they were right at the time. And I think history has proven him right.
And you know what I found so interesting reading about his life, Steve, and you know you know these things, but you're remembered of them when they're kind of all put tightly in a neat package in a eulogy or an obituary, is how he did not brag about his accomplishments, and maybe that was to his own political peril. You know, you talk about the Berlin Wall very specifically. His aides wanted him to go to Germany and basically declare victory by getting that wall to come down, and he refused to do it. He talked about how his mother told him that it is never his job to talk about himself, to allow other people to talk about him. And he contrasts that now with the politics of today, and obviously President Trump's the most shining example, but really politicians of all ilk have come to the place now where they've got to constantly be bragging about their accomplishments. And George Bush, to a certain extent, downplayed those foreign policy accomplishments in the later part of his first term heading into the campaign because the domestic problems were so great and the economy was in such trouble that he, A, wasn't good at beating his own chest, and B, wasn't good at messaging the way forward, which ultimately led to his demise. And I thought it was even interesting, too, that, you know, you forget about this at the time. Of course, his biggest political promise was one that he broke when he said that read my lips, no new taxes. But then in that second campaign, he actually admitted he was wrong to raise taxes. Could you imagine not just President Trump, but any American politician admitting on such a grand stage that they had made a mistake? It's just something that we don't see in our politics.
Well, and there was a Democratic Senate in a Democratic House the entire time he was in the White House. So that's what he was up against.
Ryan, why do you think it is that beyond the obvious that, excuse me, that he's a one-term president, that he's not remembered as one of the great modern presidents? When you talk about all the people who have happened after him or even before him, he kind of gets lost in the shuffle. Why do you think that is?
I think it's because the economy was so rough during especially the latter part of his presidency. I do think that when you stack up his foreign policy accomplishments and you put them all into one package, it's a pretty impressive resume. You know, you mentioned what happened with the Berlin Wall, but also, you know, stewarding the end of the Soviet Union, basically putting an end to the Cold War, which enormous accomplishment. He played a role in the situation in Panama. I do think that perhaps George H.W. Bush's biggest problem was that he was kind of sandwiched in between all these presidents who had such enormous public profiles. He was obviously in the shadow of Ronald Reagan because he served as Ronald Reagan's vice president, and he lost to him in the 1980 presidential primary. Then he had Bill Clinton right after him and everything connected to Bill Clinton. And then, of course, his own son becomes president of the United States, which becomes a part of his legacy and to a certain extent overshadows the work that he did.
Well, you know, though,
his short time.
I think all of that's true, but I also think that losing is your last move if you don't come back and start tooting your own horn and become a. I mean, look at President Carter's presidency. It was not good. It was not a good 4-year run. But President Carter has had the most amazing post-presidential run you could possibly have, giving of himself and getting involved and allowing people to hear his opinion. H.W. Bush, 41, never did that. He had his time, and he decided his time was over, and he focused on his family and other things. And the loss was what was left. So I think that's part of it, too. But that's why these tributes are great, because now I think he's going to get the credit he deserves.
Well, I'm so struck by his humility. I think that's the thing that I just find so impressive. You know, the letter that he wrote to Bill Clinton telling him that he was rooting for him because he was his president now and his success was the country's success. That's something you wouldn't see now. The fact that even though he was so burned by that loss to Bill Clinton, and everybody agrees that it put him in a state of depression for a certain period of time, but then when his son teamed him up with Bill Clinton to go raise money for tsunami victims and in Haiti, he saw a different side of Bill Clinton, and then they developed such a warm relationship that he's described as Bill Clinton's the father that Bill Clinton never had. I mean, who imagined that would happen? I mean, he showed so such an enormous capacity to see different sides of people and to open his heart in a way that most people of that level of accomplishment would never do. The fact that he took so much time to reach out to even the lowest level of person that he came in contact with to send him a note or to provide them kind words, I think just says so much about him, not just as a public servant who, was a wealthy guy, didn't have to give back to his country but chose to, but also just as a human being who seemed to care about everyday people.
I had an opportunity to interview him on multiple occasions, but I also emceed a campaign event in 1992 in Rochester, Minnesota. And he couldn't have been kinder. And we also met under very strange circumstances as we ended up in the men's room at the same time. And it's a longer story, which I'll tell later this week. But the Secret Service wanted me to leave. And President George H.W. Bush, 41, said, "For God's sakes, Jim, let the man finish."
How is that not like the second paragraph in all of these obituaries that I'm reading about?
I'm trying to figure out how to turn it into my memoir. Ryan Nobles, thanks. We look forward to CNN's coverage all week.
Thank you, guys. Have a great week.
Hawks tickets in just a second. I want to play this for you from SNL. I had forgotten about this, but Dana Carvey got really famous based on a couple of distinct characters. One of them was George H.W. Bush. Not gonna that. And Bush came on Saturday Night Live in a split-screen answer to Dana Carvey in character as President Bush. So hopefully you can follow along here.
Not gonna do it. Not gonna do it.
Dana, George Bush here. I'm watching you do your impression of me, and I gotta say, it's nothing like me. Bears no resemblance. It's bad. It's bad.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. President. I think it's a fair impression.
Don't see it.
You know?
It's totally exaggerated. Not me. Those crazy hand gestures. The pointing thing. I don't do them. And also, na-ga-da, never said it. In all my years of government service, I never once said na-ga-da.
H.W. had a great sense of humor. Some great stories that came out this weekend. They'll continue to be talked about this week. Just ahead of the Hawker Riddle, how was last night?
Chicago Accent Challenge. The finals were great. Jimmy from Beverly, the winner.
Really?
He took home $333, and Jimmy was gone within 5 minutes.
Did you have it all in singles?
I had it in. There was one $100 bill. There was a $50. There were like six $20s.
Oh, you went down. Denomination.
Two singles and four quarters.
You, one of your contestants, one of the women, had a really cool Blackhawks jersey, a split jersey.
There was so many. The best part about it, it was at the end of the Chicago Podcast Festival. Great time, great turnout, great party. The WGN listeners really showed up. There were eight contestants. I want to name them: Patrick, Brendan, Glenn, Dee, Maggie. And Jimmy, of course, and I'm missing one person in there, and I apologize for that. I think it was...
You're working off the top of your head.
Anyway, the I was just really, really impressed with everybody, especially Maggie came out, and she wore this great Blackhawks jersey where she split it down the middle, and she had Cubs to fly the W cape. She had all this Chicago stuff, and to... You know, the questions were a lot of fun.
And who finished second? Was it close or was it a blowout?
It was a little bit of a blowout, but Maggie did a good job. The other Maggie did a good job getting there. It came down to the big question was, can you name the plot of the 1986 movie Running Scared? And Jimmy from Beverly nailed it. These two idiot cops, Billy Crystal and Gregory Hines, rest his peace.
Justin pulled that one up on us on Friday.
Yeah, nobody knew it.
I think Steve Berchan was the only one who even knew what the movie was.
Oh, yeah. I love that movie.
But Alderman Spisato from the 38th Ward was one of the judges, and Ted and Scott Goldstein. It was a great time. Thank you to everybody. But the WGN listeners stole the show.
Well, nice work by you. Can we see it anywhere?
Yeah, we audio taped it, so we'll put it up on the Download podcast sometime soon.
And you can get all of our podcasts at WGNradio.com. All right, I got a Hawker reel here. I haven't talked much about the Hawks today because I'm sad.
I think that says it all, Steve.
The Hawks are on the road for a couple this week, and they got to get going. And I mean, they got to get going right now. Here's your Hawker riddle for tickets. I connect from Jackson all the way to Grant Park. I'm a place to float, dock in both daylight and dark. Daniel in 27, my name they did anoint with a view from my famous promissory point. It's very artsy.
Very.
You know it, don't you?
I do.
Okay. 312-981-7200 is the number. Quickly, I connect from Jackson all the way to Grant Park. I'm a place to float dock in both daylight and dark. Daniel in 27, my name they did anoint with a view from my famous promissory point. First person can tell me what I'm talking about. 312-981-7200 is going to be a winner of Hawks tickets, and we'll tell you about that when we come back. In the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Steve is next on WGN Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey. You know I love you more than one night show.
Live from Channel 9, it's time for Moron Entertainment, and well, that's not just at Channel 9, it's here at WGN Radio as well. It's a
worldwide.
It's a worldwide sort of situation.
Worldwide phenomena.
Hey, I need to, speaking of morons, I just gave away Hawks tickets and didn't give the answer to the question that I asked.
Moron.
Exactly. The answer is Burnham Harbor. Burnham Harbor was the answer to the Hawker riddle, and I'm sorry that I'm an idiot. So thanks to congrats to the winner, and thanks to everybody that called and everybody that listened.
Hawker riddle?
Hawker riddle. Oh, let's see if you can get it. Ready?
He just gave away
the answer.
Burnham Harbor.
No, I know. Well, see, that would be where the comedy is, where I give it up again.
This is like Jeopardy. What is Burnham Harbor?
No, you know what's happened on this show? Everybody on this show has suddenly assumed the old man can't get it done anymore, so they all jump in. No,
Steve,
no, Grandpa, you're wandering into traffic.
Oh, Steve, you just gave the answer. Oh, so cute. He doesn't know better.
Ah, who needs punchlines?
Hey, you know what? Over the weekend, I was in New York over the weekend.
Yeah.
And I interviewed.
On your own or with your minder?
What?
On your own or with the people that handle you?
With, you know, my handlers.
Yeah.
Because also, I have those same people that you have around you going, no, go this way. No, don't do that. Chew your food.
How was New York?
It was nice. It was very nice. I got a look at some of the big Christmas movies that they're going to be coming out. Aquaman.
Okay.
I can't give you reviews on anything yet. Sworn to secrecy at the moment.
Okay, so is that any good?
But it's very aqualicious.
Okay.
And the new Julia Roberts movie had a nice conversation with the cast of Aquaman. with Julia Roberts. Had a nice conversation with her. And Mary Poppins returns. The much-anticipated Mary Poppins.
When's the review on that one? That's what I want to hear.
Well, it opens December the 19th, so it'll be pretty close to that.
And who is lead in that? Who's playing Mary Poppins?
That would be Emily Blunt.
She asked about me again?
She did not, but interestingly, Lin-Manuel Miranda, the creator of Hamilton.
Your friend.
Friend of WGN. He's been in Chicago many, many, many times. First thing he says when I walk in the room is, how do I get on the Moron Awards?
Well, I mean, you know, it's not something that you can just ask to be on.
He says he would like to perform.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
I bet he would.
On the Moron Awards, and I told him, I just flat out told him no.
What did you ask? What has he ever done in show business? I mean, what sort of accomplishments he's had?
It was implied when I just turned him down.
Okay.
And then he said, maybe I can come to the New Year's Eve show at the Tivoli and do something. And
I said, give him the ticket link?
Absolutely, you cannot. We're not interested. Enough of this Hamilton Schmamilton stuff.
Right.
Enough. People are sick of it.
And did you tell him about John DeCoste and I putting together Millard and see if he wants a small part in Millard?
I did not.
The Life of Millard Fillmore, the musical?
Not. I feel like he's had his moment.
Millard? You feel like Millard's overexposed? I have something to mention on the weekend. It wasn't New York, but Abigail Grace was over all weekend. So, you know, I had a great weekend. And Friday night, went to Illumination at the Morton Arboretum.
Oh, very nice.
Have you been there for that?
Not this year.
Oh, it's so great.
Yeah, it's beautiful, though.
So great. And the cool thing is, when you're not quite three, you think you turn all the lights on and off. So that was great. I got a great picture of her on a tree stump pushing a button and making the lights turn, and it's the coolest thing ever. So it's a great thing for families and kids.
Look on her face when she does that.
Yeah, it was tremendous. So I would highly recommend it.
Was Aquaman there?
Aquaman was not there, no. But it was a little damp. So, you know, I feel like that's part of the story.
Is it reviewing the movie if I say that Aquaman's going to make you want to go to the bathroom?
No.
Is that a review?
That's every movie. This morning, we're saluting our listener of the day, Perry A. Sook. This is a guy who we couldn't be more impressed with. And I'm not just saying that because he's the guy that owns Nexstar Communications. But Perry A. Sook from Irving, Texas, largest shareholder in the company. I hear he's a handsome devil and obviously highly accomplished and brilliant as well. So Perry A. Sook is our listener of the
day. Nice that you've just randomly chosen him to be listener of the day today.
That's crazy.
It's funny how that works out, right?
Yeah. So,
I don't know what this Nexstar you're talking about is, though.
No.
What's going on behind you?
The whole newsroom is quiet until I'm on the air.
Until this segment starts.
Until this segment starts. And then, even though I'm in the farthest reach of the newsroom, everyone walks back here and talks as loudly as possible.
Right. Can we get on? No, it's more on entertainment.
How's the new carpeting in the newsroom?
We have new carpeting in the newsroom. That's the big news today.
Yeah.
In part, most of the newsroom. It's very nice. Yeah, it's sort of a blue tweedish.
Did you know blue tweed is Perry Sook's favorite color?
Because I think on Thursday when we were talking to you, people were making noise cleaning off their desks.
Right. Yeah, everyone, they have. And I cleaned off my desk. I spent quite a bit of time before I went to New York because they were supposed to put the new carpeting in. Where my desk is in the newsroom where I am right now.
Yeah.
Old carpeting. I still have the old carpeting here.
That's weird because I know they took the time to put a fresh coat of paint on Larry and Robin. So they're upgrading a lot, though.
I hear this Perry Sook likes that.
Priyanka Chopra got married this weekend.
Twice.
Okay. Ariana's in the news.
Twice.
There's a bunch of crazy rich Asians that Dean wants to talk about. Ken Berry, Dolly Parton, and Lin-Manuel Miranda, who will not be invited to the New Year's Eve show. All coming up.
Turned them down flat.
But you can get tickets at Eventbrite.com.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor. Channel 9720.
Back to Dean at Channel 9. Be appearing with me and DeCoste and Rocky Laporte,
yep.
Tim and everybody. I mean, New Year's Eve. It's going to be great.
Not Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Nope, not going to be there. Ross Cochran might be there.
It's a nice addition.
Well, he's got some other shows he's considering as well.
At night?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's quite busy. And again, the listener of the day, Dean, is who?
I've forgotten his name.
Oh, that's a bad move by you. It's like when Dave forgot the name of the general manager at Channel 9.
Well, I didn't. It's not that I did forgot his name. I'd never met him, and he came into the office. I didn't know who he was. That's all. Dave, I know who it is now.
It's a shame neither of you have the internet. Perry A. Sook, S-O-O-K, is the boss at Nexstar and a handsome man. So, congratulations to us.
Now, I heard that Nexstar is going to be merging with Tribune Media Company.
What?
That is...
total coincidence.
Steve, Mr. Sook is on line one.
Oh, Sook's on line one?
He's on line one.
Just want to say hello?
Yeah.
So when you buy something, usually you go check it out, you know? So does that mean Mr. Sook was sneaking around our offices?
I don't know if he's sneaking around. I saw a bunch of guys with money falling out of their coats wandering around. So I did what you would have done. I picked it up and kept it.
Maybe that's why Dean got new carpeting, except for in his area over there in the newsroom.
Because of his lack of knowledge about Mr. Sook's incredible success.
I refuse to be influenced by new carpeting.
Other new stuff, maybe.
Can't be bought with a lush plush shag.
So Priyanka Chopra and Nick Jonas got married twice. What happened?
Well, they've been engaged since last August.
Sure, of course.
They're a beautiful couple.
Aren't they? Oh, I love
handsome.
This. Love
just
this couple.
A beautiful. She's beautiful.
My favorite Priyanka.
She's my favorite Chopra.
Oh, see, they were
Chopra Winfrey
coming.
Is my number one.
yeah, of course.
But they got married in New Delhi over the weekend. First in a Christian ceremony to honor his religion, and then they did a traditional Hindu ceremony to honor her religion the next day, which was quite beautiful. And really, these festivities for traditional Hindu ceremony,
they last days.
4 days.
Yeah.
4 days celebration, including traditional henna tattoos, which, by the way, we're going to be giving out at the big New Year's Eve show in Downers Grove.
And it's not optional. If you come to the show, you have to get a tattoo.
You have to be prepared to decide where on your body you would like Steve's head
right.
henna tattooed.
Eleanor, hold still.
Fireworks at the wedding, music and dance, and each and every one of the Jonas Brothers were there, and that's like 200 of those right there.
Sure, Zeppo, Harpo, they're all there.
Themselves, all of them were there.
There was a fourth one pictured that I forgot even was a Jonas.
Because he wasn't in the group.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I forgot there was an extra one.
Chuck Jonas?
Her dresses for the events are the most beautiful things I've ever seen. Yep. And he did a good job documenting it on Instagram, why these ceremonies were important to his wife and being an Indian woman. It was really, I thought it was quite sweet.
But honestly, how thankful are you that we don't do four-day weddings in this country?
I don't know. If it was like what this wedding looked like, that would be pretty fun.
Yeah, right, Dean? It looks like a festival.
But if you're throwing the wedding...
Put your left foot in, take your left foot out, and shake it all about.
And the chicken dance. If you're throwing the wedding, or if you're getting married, I think day two you want everybody out.
Right.
How many more days of this?
Four.
Crazy Rich Asians in the news. What happened?
Now, this movie opened here to both critical and huge financial success.
Yeah, I thought it was fun.
When it came out. And a fun movie. It opened in China over the weekend. In China. Bombed. Nobody went to see it.
Because they thought the actual Asians were a stereotype? I mean, what's the reason?
I don't know the reason for this. I mean, I guess they didn't find it very novel. That that it's a movie that features an all Asian cast because most movies there feature Asian.
It's like that Ben Affleck Christmas movie that was set in Chicago. You're like, nah, it's not real.
Maybe. That said, Ralph Breaks the Internet was the number one movie at the box office this past weekend, followed by The Grinch and Creed 2.
Can you remember any time where the top two movies during a holiday season were animated? Because I can't
remember specifically, but I wouldn't be surprised if that were the case. Because this, you know, people want to take their kids to go do something.
Ralph Breaks the Internet got rave reviews at our house. The kids think it's excellent. Yeah.
I'm waiting to hear what Perry Sook thinks before I decide if I'm going to go. Ariana Grande,
she broke the internet over the weekend. She released her music video for her Thank You Next, her new music video.
Justin's been dancing to that video all morning, showing me the dance.
Next.
You liked it?
I did. The video is great. It was a big hit.
Sandberg?
In our house.
Oh, yeah. It's a Mean Girls thank you. Not, yeah, that, it's getting sung a lot by our 14-year-old.
Dave?
Thank you. Next.
You got me on that one.
Most views in a single day on YouTube.
Ken Berry has passed away. I, you know, it's hard to picture Ken Berry at 85 years old, but I guess everybody gets old.
He's extremely youthful looking, yeah. even in his old age. He was probably best known as the captain on the old TV show F Troop. He played Vinton Harper on Mama's Family.
Right.
That ran from 1983 to 1990.
Larry Storch wasn't on that show, was he?
He was not on that show, okay. As far as I know.
He was an F-Troop guy.
Andy Griffith's show, Mayberry RFD. He was sort of a semi-regular on Carol Burnett's show.
Mm-hmm.
And a native of Moline, Illinois.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I never knew this until I was reading his obit the other day. He was 85 years old.
Dolly Parton's going to do a 9-to-5 sequel?
She confirmed on Jimmy Fallon the other night that they actually are working on it already. The wheels are already in motion because of the Me Too movement and because equal pay for women is still an issue that is yet to be resolved in America, that she feels like the time is right for another 9-to-5 movie. Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda have all signed off, so I would guess in about a year, year and a half, we'll probably be getting something like that.
I interviewed Dolly Parton probably the first time in the early 90s, and it was in her hotel suite, and we sat on the edge of her bed, and she looked at me and said, "You're nervous, aren't you?" And I said, "No." And then we did the interview. But all the times I've talked to her, she couldn't be nicer. She's
never interviewed anybody in all my years ever once on the edge of a bed. How does that happen?
you gotta be charming, Dean. That's all I'm saying. And Lin-Manuel Miranda.
We were among the cast members of Mary Poppins Returns that I talked to over the weekend. So it was a busy weekend for Lin-Manuel. He got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Last night, he, along with Cher and Reba McEntire and a bunch of musicians, all got Kennedy Center honors. That presentation will be on CBS on December the 26th. But we've talked with Lin-Manuel several times since it was announced that he was going to be in this Mary Poppins sequel. And his mind was blown when he first was, you know, it was announced that he was going to be in it. And I wondered if that was still the case for him.
The ripples are big and small. They're big in, oh, I get to hug Dick Van Dyke at the premiere of this movie. They're small in, this morning I brought home Mary Poppins Returns Christmas ornaments. And the last thing I saw before I left my apartment this morning was my son playing with a doll of me and a doll of Mary Poppins. So it's just like, I feel like the ripples of this thing are just beginning.
What was the most difficult part about this for you?
I think the most... I don't want to say difficult because that implies something negative, but the biggest challenge, of course, was the dancing. I mean, this is the dancing in that first movie set such a high bar. You think
even for you, with all your stage experience.
Yeah, but if you watch Hamilton carefully, you'll notice there's incredible dancing in that show. Hamilton does almost none of it. He stands and raps while things swirl around him.
He's going to be returning to the role of Alexander Hamilton in a few weeks in Puerto Rico. He's going to be taking the show there for 3 weeks only, and all the money is going to go for Puerto Rican hurricane relief.
Well, good for him. He's a good dude, right?
Mary Poppins opens December 19th. Interviews with Emily Blunt and the whole cast.
And for those that didn't listen to the beginning of Moron Entertainment, again, your review of Aquaman?
Is made me want to pee. Put that in your newspaper ad.
All right, Dean, thank you. Talk to you later.
Take that, Mr. Perry. What was
Perry
it?
Perry A. Sook. Good Perry God, write it down.
Sook?
You moron.
Like Sookie, Sookie, baby.
No,
like
I don't that. Think. I actually don't think you should call him that. more on entertainment tomorrow, and your headlines are next.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
All right, 8:46. Lori Lightfoot joins us. It's a name you know, or if you don't, you should know better. And she's running for mayor. And good morning, Lori.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, that's presumptuous of me. Can I call you Lori?
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for that. I want to ask you about Alderman Burke, obviously, yeah, because none of the other mayoral candidates have spoken about this. But we also have a time issue here, and I don't want to shortchange this. So if you can hang with us for just a couple of minutes, we can get into this in deeper detail. But I also want to be able to direct people to your campaign website, which is what?
It's LightfootForChicago.com.
All right.
A lot of good information and ways to participate and donate, of course.
Lori Lightfoot joins us. She's running for mayor, and as I said, the only mayoral candidate willing to talk about the fact that Alderman Ed Burke, who is about to celebrate his 50th anniversary as a Chicago alderman, had his offices raided last week by the FBI. Now, Lori Lightfoot, you know something about this. That doesn't just happen. That takes a long time, so therefore they must have been looking for something in particular.
Yeah, I mean, I think what we saw last week was the decision by the federal authorities to go overt with what was surely a lengthy covert investigation in order to get search warrants for sitting elected officials of government offices. That's something you've got to have substantial evidence. It's got to be vetted and approved by people in Washington, D.C. at Main Justice. And then it's got to be a pass muster with the federal magistrate judge here in Chicago. So this is a very significant development that I'm frankly surprised and disappointed that so few other mayoral candidates are even willing to step up, and certainly none of the quote-unquote frontrunners. I think the Chicago Tribune did an excellent job of detailing why it is that they may be silent because of their personal and political connections with Burke. But this isn't a time for silence. People all over the city are so cynical and sick of the broken machine style politics in the city, and they want change. And I think this is an important inflection point in that moment. You can see who are standing on the side of the status quo in the broken machine versus who is independent and willing to call it as they see it.
So going forward from here, because you've stated the case well that you're willing to speak up, and you're absolutely right. You can see it in the Tribune. You can do any research you want. But the fact of the matter is, all the names you know well that are running for mayor just aren't talking about it. They don't want to talk about the fact that the longest-serving alderman and arguably the second most powerful man in Chicago had his offices raided by the FBI. They don't want to even discuss it. And I don't know how you can be the next mayor of Chicago and not want to be on the record as how you're going to deal with this going forward. So let's go forward. You're the next mayor of Chicago. What do you do when this happens?
Well, first of all, you demand that Ed Burke step down as chair of the Finance Committee. There's a lot of significant financial issues that have to be addressed in the short term and in the intermediate term before the election next year. So, frankly, Rahm Emanuel should be doing that right now. But if that doesn't happen and I'm mayor, that's an immediate thing. Another thing that, frankly, I've been railing against for some time is the fact that Ed Burke has exclusive dominion over the city's workers' comp function. It has no visibility by anybody outside of his small little fiefdom. We have no idea what's going on there. It's $100 million a year. That we have no idea if it's being managed well or not. That has to be stripped immediately.
Lori, this is an interesting case because you have a lot of people who want to be the next mayor of Chicago, a field that's pretty vast. And every single one of them wants to run on a progressive mantle. They want to be the independent, but they also want to be the mainstream. They want to cater to everybody, which is politics. But will this kind of issue, when you have a raid and the Tribune's piece sort of sorts out why some of these front runners aren't talking about this issue, is this the rubber meets the road moment where we as voters understand who truly is independent and truly is progressive and who is just talking?
Well, I think you put it 100% right. This is the defining moment of this campaign. You have all these people who found political courage after Goliath was slayed, after Rahm Emanuel decides he's not going to run. Suddenly they believe, oh, there's all these issues and I have a vision. But you cannot call yourself a progressive. You cannot call yourself somebody who wants to have a transparent, good government if you do not speak up on this important moment. So I think voters can draw a lot of conclusions. And frankly, if they want the same old, they got an a la carte menu. Pick a Chico, pick a Preckwinkle, Mendoza, Daley, and so forth. But if you truly want change and you want somebody who's going to stand up and stand tall in the moments of importance, then I am in that lane by myself. I'm truly the only independent person of credibility that's running for mayor.
Take a Chico, pick a Preckwinkle. Sounds like a children's book I read to Abigail this weekend. Justin, one more.
They're all various points on the broken status quo, the broken political machine.
Yeah, you're exactly right,
Lori. As there are a lot of candidates running here, and a lot of people with the backing of big money, and of course the Democratic Party. Where do you see yourself here? What's the roadmap for you to get some traction and to, if not force a runoff, win this thing?
Well, I see myself as the independent reform candidate. I see myself as the only person who's going to be able to put together a citywide coalition of people who want change. And I've been out on the campaign trail since early May of this year, everywhere that I've gone, in every neighborhood, every demographic, over and over again. The consistent theme is we want a different kind of leader. We want a different kind of city government. We have to have change to be able to move forward and tackle the tough problems that the city is facing. I mean, again, this moment where people are ducking and hiding, that's not the kind of leadership that Chicago deserves or that people want. So I think this is the way that we're going to be able to continue defining us as different than the pack of folks who are wedded to the status quo.
I salute the fact that you've stepped up and you're talking about it, because there's way too many politicians, not just in the city but in the state, that hide and aren't willing to come on and talk about whatever the problems are. And this is a significant story, a huge story. Lori Lightfoot, website again for your campaign.
It's lightfootforchicago.com, and follow us on social. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Lori.
Appreciate you being on Sports News. And Dave Ennett will have some details on this after 9 o'clock, at least what we know. Who got fired?
Who got fired?
The Bulls coach.
The Bulls coach, Fred Hoiberg, let go this morning. Jim Boylan is the new interim head coach with the Chicago Bulls. Like I said, Dave will have some stuff coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. But not surprising, I guess, because they're terrible. But at the same time, there were some health issues. And these players, there kind of was this idea that once everyone was healthy, we'll see what Fred Hoiberg can do.
I think it's a step. And Fred's a nice guy. I love Paxson. Paxson's a good guy. I don't know Guy. But look, the whole thing's got to go. Organizationally, you got to do a complete reset.
Yeah, we can talk more about it. I just
we don't have to, well, you should do your research because you have a sportscast coming up to cover.
Well, no, I was going to relay the statement. Yeah, the statement just issued by the Bulls, and John Paxson, the executive vice president, says decisions like this one never easy, but this is the right choice for our organization at this time. Hoiberg was 5 years as a head coach at Iowa State, then came to the Bulls. His record with the Bulls, 115-155. Oof. And obviously with the team going the wrong way again this year.
Time for
and they've
change.
Got Markkanen back now, so on we go.
Back with your Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, Steve Rizanich version next.
The Allstate Skyline Studio.
Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
And on CLTV, snowing in the city. The cool thing about being on the 18th floor, you know, we used to be on the ground floor, is the 18th floor is higher. These are the type of insightful statements you'll get from me. And with the wind blowing and stuff, it snows up. So the flurries go up. I mean, I'm not the only one seeing that, right? That's actually happening?
It's like Stranger Things. The show Stranger Things, we're in the upside down.
Yeah, yeah.
Ah, I see what you did there.
Yeah.
No, I don't watch the show.
Yeah.
CLTV, on CLTV as well. Give them a big wave. And good morning to everybody on CLTV. My church, Community Christian Church, with 114 convenient locations, is doing their annual Christmas show. And I've asked the Bramlett brothers to bring in a few folks to sing this morning. But it's a special show. Now, who's going to take this question? Okay, we'll start over here with a young working actor from Chicago named Alec. Give me a quick premise here, and then I want to hear you guys sing, and then we'll come back and talk a little more.
Let It Be Christmas is the original Beatles rock opera nativity story. So we
as opposed to all the other ripoff Beatles rock opera
so
nativity
many that
stories?
We're the original. We're the first. Right. We tell the story of Christmas through the music of the Beatles. We use 33 Beatles songs to tell the story of Joseph and Mary and the baby Jesus, the shepherds, the wise men, the angels. All the angels come.
Your frankincense, your myrrh.
Yeah, all of it. It's all in there. And it's amazing. We call it a rock opera because we don't change any of the Beatles' lyrics. We use their words to to be the thoughts and actions of the characters in the story of Christmas.
First song is what?
First song. Well, we do a While My Guitar Gently Remixes. It's actually a new song this year, a new opener to start the show.
That's what we're going to hear right now?
No. I thought you meant the first song of the show.
First song here.
We're gonna the first song we're going to do here? We're going to do every song here.
So then there's a light change, and then the second song is, and then there's a set change, and then the third song is.
Exactly.
Are all the roadies named Joseph?
No, but okay. We've got a lot of Steves, strangely enough.
What's the first song the kids are going to sing?
The first song the kids are going to sing is We Can Work It Out. It's a song between Joe and Mary. When Mary tells Joe that she's pregnant and she's a virgin, it obviously causes a rift. We don't have a lot of that story in the Bible, so we use the Beatles songs to kind of fill that out. And
Ringo know you're doing this, by the way?
Oh, yeah. Ringo's coming. He's got tickets for two performances.
I just feel like you're going to get in a lot of trouble. It's a great show.
Someday. We should probably never talk about this like on the radio.
No. Thank God this show is small. It's a great show. I highly recommend it, but you'll get it when you hear this. Well, introduce, if you would, please.
Yes, we've got Maeve Doyle and Nick Welter, accompanied by Zach Goforth, who's one of our wise men this year. He had brought his guitar today. Mm-hmm. They're going to sing We Can Work It Out.
Right here on CLTV and 720 WGN.
Choosing my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can't go on? Will you see it your way? Run the risk of knowing that our love may soon be gone. We can work it out. We can work it out.
Think of what you're saying. You can get it wrong and still you think that it's all right. Think of what I'm saying. We can work it out and get it straight or say goodnight. We can work it out. We can work it out.
Life is very short, and there's no time for fussing and fighting, my friend. I have always thought that it's a crime, so I will ask you once again. Try to see it my way, only time will tell if I am right or I am wrong. Will you see it your way? There's a chance that we might fall apart before too long. We can work it out. We can work it out.
How about a hand for that? Right? Come on. Really good. And I'm always amazed at anybody that can sing at 9:15 in the morning. Stick around. We'll come back in just a second to do more. What's coming up at 9:30?
Can I just say how beautiful it is to watch people in that performance studio with the
background? It's cool, isn't it?
Christmas tree.
Nice work.
Outstanding.
It really is cool. On the Steve Cochran Show, all-time top 10. It's number three. I just checked the list just a second ago. What a great song. You guys heard Hey Jude? That went well for them as well.
Yeah, we might do it this year.
Eric and Alec Bramlett are here. And Eric, explain, what is your fancy title with Community Christian Church?
So I'm the creative arts director for Community Christian. We're a multi-location church with 10 locations across Chicagoland.
I thought Steve said 116.
Yeah.
Well, you know how Steve tends to exaggerate. And
I think he said 114. But
yeah.
We'll play it back.
You can get that done by the end of the year. This will make you feel good. Karen's on the phone. Yes, Karen, what did you want to add at this point?
Yes, sir. Steve, what a great show, and your programs are wonderful.
Thank you.
And what a lovely group. You guys made my morning, honestly.
How about that?
There you go.
How about that? Isn't that nice?
That works for us. Absolutely. So,
and good luck with your performances, and I hope everybody goes on to do great things. Thank you so much.
Merry Christmas, Karen. Thank you. What a nice, like, nice thing.
In life? She mean like just
yeah. She means all of it.
Good things.
Yeah, it doesn't end today. It's all of it.
It's a philosopher. I love it.
All right, whose concept was this?
Well, it originated from a church in Indiana that we had observed, who had done kind of a series for Christmas, and it was Beatles themed. They had like a 15-minute kind of mini play, We saw it. Alec and I saw it.
You said we have to steal this idea and take it.
We did talk to them. They actually gave us all their stuff. So it was stealing with permission.
We asked if we could steal it.
Yeah.
Cleared it with them.
They said no. We stole it. No, they did say yes.
Well, what's the name of the little church?
Granger.
It's not little. It's Granger.
The big church. Granger, church, Indiana.
A little show, mm-hmm. big church.
Yeah,
show.
Yeah.
It was a small excerpt. And since then, we've expanded the show every year. This is our 11th year of doing the show. And now it's a full-blown two-hour extravaganza. It's awesome.
Yeah, we just kept going to the well of Beatles songs and finding connections between Beatles songs and different aspects of the Christmas story. And everything just fits perfectly. We've added to it every year. We've changed things.
It really works. Different. And I couldn't recommend it more highly. What's the website for tickets?
So you want to head to letitbechristmas.org. And if you spell all those words right, you'll get there. And,
can you imagine if you guys had made a different choice? Like if you went with Weird Al, you know, something like that. Because a lot of his songs could be tweaked in that direction.
Ariana Grande.
Sure. Ariana Grande.
Thank you, next Christmas.
Right. Sha-na-na. You know, all of those would have been bad choices compared to what you do with the Beatles.
That's a good reference. A lot of people know Sha-na-na.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to make sure I cover everybody. From Ariana Grande to Sha-na-na.
That's right.
All right, you guys are in on this next song. What is it?
It's true. Alec?
So it is the song that the wise men sing as they approach the manger. We sing the song Because in three-part harmony a cappella, and usually not at 9 in the morning.
Yeah, so good luck to all of us. All right, make your way in there.
All right.
The performance studio is all of 30 yards from here, so they're going to walk in there and get set up. And it'll take just a second or two, and then they'll do it.
What a great concept.
It is cool, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they do it really well. So,
and I am a fan of Granger, Indiana, by the way. I know that town.
How do you know?
Know it because my aunt, my wife's aunt and uncle live there.
Do you go there for like family visits?
We have
stuff?
It, yeah, for sure.
What's the fun thing to do in Granger?
Drive there.
Well, I'm sure there's lots of fun.
It's right outside.
Lots of fun.
I guess so fun. I, if I'm thinking correctly, it's right up by Mishawaka and Indiana, that kind of stuff.
Let It Be Christmas. Community Christian Church, as we call it, the big yellow box in Naperville, right off of Ogden on Emerson Lane. Tickets and reserve seating go from $10 to $25. You're going to have a great time if you go. And tickets available online at letitbechristmas.org. One more time, here they are on CLTV and 720 WGN.
Because the world is round, it turns me on. Because the world is round, because the wind is high, it blows my mind. Because the wind is high,
amazing.
There's no way that we knew that song was over, and I avoided jumping in and ruining it for everyone else. It is the what do we call you guys, by the way? You're still on mic in there. What do we call you guys? Is there a name for you guys in particular as a group?
Epic Theater Company.
There you go.
But it turns out if you just name a theater company and say you're a theater company, you're a theater company.
Okay, excellent.
So, Steve, your dreams can still come true.
There is that.
Yeah.
There is that. I mentioned, hey, Jude, that's a quickie. Oh, we're just out of time to do that one.
Have you got another?
I'd like to hear another one. If you've got a shorty you could do for us before.
We do. How about a Christmas song? You know, the Beatles actually wrote a Christmas song.
I did not know that.
And it's called Happy Christmas.
Oh, of course it is.
And so we've divvied out the parts a little differently than we do in the show because there's just five of us. But let's give it a go, shall we?
So this is Christmas. And what have you done? Another year over. And a new one just begun.
This is Christmas, for weak and for strong, for rich and the poor ones. The road is so long.
And so happy Christmas, for black and for
Christmas. And what have you done?
Another year over.
And a new one just begun.
It's tremendous. Really, 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 really good. And I couldn't help but notice if you're watching on CLTV, they're actually singing the lyrics off of their phones. This is how bad my ADD is. If I ever tried that, I'd check my messages. I just go text.
You go straight to Twitter.
And so this is... Oh, look at that. Look who texted me. It is Let It Be Christmas. And it's a wonderful program, beautiful program. And you just heard a snippet, a small chunk of it here. Go to letitbechristmas.org. There are only 8 shows total. And starts when?
This Friday, December 7th, 7:30 p.m., we've got performances on December 7th and 8th, and December 14th and 15th, and December 21st and 22nd. 8 performances total, even some 3 p.m. Saturday matinees mixed in. So get your tickets now at letitbechristmas.org.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you getting up and doing this.
Thank you, Steve. And always a pleasure.
Merry Christmas, and we'll come back in a moment with your headlines on 720 WGN.
Tomorrow, the work begins. And I do not mistrust the future. I do not fear what is ahead. For our problems are large, but our heart is larger.
President George H.W. Bush. I want to play a couple more things for you here, and then we'll jump to Ro Khan for some perspective on this as well. One of the things that you're hearing a lot about 41 is... his honor of the office for the office and to leave the office better than he found it. And that certainly goes to his relationships with two people who in the current environment, you wouldn't think you have any relationship at all. One was Bill Clinton. The other was Barack Obama. Here's George H.W. Bush, who became a very close friend of Bill Clinton, talking about the fact that politics don't have to be problematic. Listen.
President Clinton beat me like a drum back in 1992. And then we became friends. And some of his friends look at him and they say, have you lost it with this crazy guy? And some of mine look at it and they say, it's just the same thing. What are you doing with Clinton? And just because you run against someone does not mean you have to be enemies. Politics does not have to be mean and ugly.
Can you imagine? What a crazy, crazy thought. And Barack Obama awarded George H.W. Bush the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 2011 with these words.
His life is a testament that public service is a noble calling. As president, he expanded America's promise to new immigrants and people with disabilities. He reduced nuclear weapons. He built a broad international coalition to expel a dictator from Kuwait. When democratic revolution swept across Eastern Europe, it was the steady diplomatic hand of President Bush that made possible an achievement once thought impossible, ending the Cold War without firing a shot.
Absolutely amazing, and it's one of the things that I hope this president, H.W. Bush, finally gets the credit he deserves, because I think, frankly, he was one of the greats. Ro Khan joins us now. Good morning, Ro.
I agree with that. Good morning, Steve. He's going down now as the most successful one-term president,
right.
I think, obviously, in modern history. And he's got a legacy that I think you're right to point out. He had this great, post-presidency as well. Obviously, his son became president. It's a pretty unique situation there. But he was a very, he's always seen as a guy who was one of the last great World War II, had seen it all kind of people to be in the presidency. The people that were really touched by World War II had a different way of looking at the world and foreign policy and diplomacy than did those who had not touched World War II, those before them and those after them. And I think he brought the scars of that with him in a really good way to the presidency.
I totally agree. And I would say, and I'm not exaggerating in the least, the only other person maybe more qualified for the job was George Washington, because he was the first one. And he made it up as he went along. But for what he did and for what he inherited, there are people that for many years said, well, no. Reagan ended the Soviet Union. And there were people that said, no. Clinton saved the economy. If not for George Bush, the entire world, as Obama said when he gave him the Medal of Freedom, could have gone completely sideways. And the economy doesn't get to Bill Clinton in the condition it's in to be balanced without the dominoes that George Bush set to fall with his tax hike that the Democrats forced on him that probably cost him the election, along with a little bit of Ross Perot.
You see that, Ross, and also Pat Buchanan. I don't think we can forget how important Pat Buchanan was in the primary. And Pat Buchanan was trying to draw the party to the right after Bush had already moved the tax cuts. Pat Buchanan came in and was, he wasn't being fidelitous to the cause. And there was that stream of right wing, the spectrum of right wing and Republican politics in the 1980s into the 1990s, was always kind of patted on the head. Like, oh yeah, no, we're listening to you. But Reagan and Bush didn't really pay attention to that. Didn't build policy around them, right? I mean, George H.W. Bush did the Americans with Disabilities Act. That is something that was not popular with the right wing of the Republican Party, and he did other, and obviously accepted tax increases, and he did things that that were anathema to them. And what was interesting at the time was he stood up there and he said, and he was hoping that his resume was going to get him through, but it was a moment where CompuServe, for as crazy and antiquated as that sounds,
CompuServe and Prodigy,
right, started networking people together, and the first people that networked were people who were politically activated, as it always does. And so people were communicating in a way, and that was changing. Fox News Channel was coming on board, although not quite what it was, what it became, but it was a different thing. And you had Roger Ailes and Lee Atwood, who were Lee Atwater, who were marketing were marketing Republican politics in a different way, because they knew if they could just tap into, put that straw into the really, really activated people, the people who are the most likely to, want to go out and tell their story to other people and show up at the polls and all that, that they were going to be able to turn the Republican Party around. And those were the people who were, the most conservative.
Ro, it's so interesting, too, because doesn't George H.W. Bush become the last, I don't want to say professional politician, but politician who needed that experience, meaning, he was a vice president, he was head of CIA, he had done everything to pad his his resume to be ready to be president. After that, it's governors and one-term senators and a businessman from New York. The idea of padding your resume or there being a route to the White House has changed.
You make an argument that Hillary had the same path, you know, as far as her experience level goes. She just wasn't likable by anyone.
HW got a he had one term, but it's funny to think about that
well, but can I go back to that, because it's a really important point. I'll make this as fast as I can. You saw this happen in the 1980s into the 1990s. The Republican Party was on a roll in the 1980s with Ronald Reagan, obviously, you know, very popular president. He was also he'd been shot, so it created a whole other, you know, kind of love for him. There were people in the United States that, you know, in the election of 1980, they didn't like him. Ronnie Reagan, he was dangerous, he was pugilistic, he was all of these things people thought, you know, the left certainly thought that about him. Then he got shot and became sort of a sainted figure. And he was able to do a lot of things legislatively, and he was likable, he was genial, right? Now, the difference was the economy, in terms of what he did when he superheated the economy in the 1980s, which, you know, there are tricks to it, right? It's the Laffer curve. It's this whole idea that you bring down the taxes and then corporations start making a lot of money and then the stock market goes up and people, and there are more jobs for a while, but then it superheats and it starts to go and there will be a recession. And the problem was that George H.W. Bush got set up to be the president right in that recession. It wasn't intentional. It was just the fluke of timing. And there was no way he was going to be able to come back from that. And it was predictable before he became president. It was predictable in 87 and 88 that the economy was going to turn and that he was going to have trouble doing that. And, you know, and he was going to be a victim of that. And that's what got him. He had the highest approval rating in the history of the modern approval rating of the presidency.
Literally 90.
Right. After the Kuwait War. Right. Then. Now you've got, and then, you know, a couple months later, the economy really starts to tank, and you've got this populist Democrat from Arkansas who's coalescing a lot of the people that the Republicans were going after. And, you know, next thing you know.
And he did not get 50% of the vote, and so on and so on. And then Newt Gingrich in 94, and things got ugly, and they've never come back. But you have to believe that President H.W. Bush was right. And that it's our job to fix it, not accept it as it is if it's not working.
I think Barack Obama was an honorable guy. I think it was an honorable president, and those 8 years were relatively scandal free. I mean, he was unpopular for a couple of reasons, you know, in America. I think they're pretty obvious. But whether it's his politics or his race or anything like that, there are people that just didn't, you know, just weren't going to like him. But the Clintons created a circumstance in terms of Bill's own personal behavior and their treatment of the White House and of power. And then with George W. Bush, there was the war. With Barack Obama, there was, you know, the environment in which we were living that became so toxic. And now Donald Trump, who was really the guy who wanted, you know, loves toxicity because he thinks that helps in the political process.
Yeah, and you don't own the office. You occupy the office. And that's one thing this president's never got. And I know you're going to pick this up at 3 and carry it and run with it and talk to folks about it. But it's just the beginning of the week. And throughout the week, a lot of talk about 41, and appropriately so. I'll leave you with this. It's amazing, isn't it? We think back to Prodigy and CompuServe, that the early days of hate could be spread on a 2.8 modem.
No.
You suck, but you wouldn't get it in 10 minutes.
That's how it all started.
So, all right, buddy, thank you.
Thanks.
That's Ro Khan. We're back in a moment on 720 WGN. We don't have time to get to this morning, but there's a study at Harvard that's going to make Steve Grzanich really mad and might anger the rest of you. A Harvard professor says the absolute perfect portion of French fries should consist of 6 French fries. That's
wow.
It.
That's it.
6 fries. That's it. According to Harvard University professor of nutrition, Eric Rim. 6 fries in an article published by the New York Times discuss why, despite the fact that potatoes are considered vegetables, fries are unhealthy. 6 is the perfect size, he says.
That sounds like a buzzkill.
What?
Well, they're not really vegetables, though, are they? Aren't they starch?
Well, I don't know. It's a potato, right?
It's a potato. Potato's technically a starch, isn't it?
Potato.
It's a vegetable, isn't it? I don't know. Well, now we've got this going on. I thought we had problems with the six fries.
Dave is
Can anyone confirm that?
It's a starchy vegetable, but it is a vegetable.
Okay.
Yeah, it's in the ground.
All right, I'll go with that.
Even the agriculture department says a serving of fries is 12 to 15 fries. Mm.
That's not enough.
Crinkle fries are straight. A simple potato is botanically classified into the group of vegetables, and specifically nightshade vegetables. However, nutritionally considered a starchy food due to its high carbohydrate content.
I'm with Dave. Nutrition. Dave did the tough mutter.
So, I'm sorry.
Not name. Not naming. Nutrition, right?
I'm sorry I brought nutrition into this.
And yes, I was in a band called The Simple Potatoes. back with Bill and Wendy next on 720 WGN. Holiday season is here. Choose the TV built for serious watching. It's an LG OLED TV from Apt with 4K resolution. Bill and Wendy are here. I remember when I was a kid, we had a black and white TV.
That's all we had.
And then we got a TV, and this is how you describe it. It's a color TV.
Yeah.
Now you got LG OLED. You got your 4K. You got a lot of stuff going on here.
Yes.
I don't even know what it does, but I like looking at it.
Oh, yeah, it's good.
Steve, we had a sepia tones TV. We didn't even have black and white.
Oh, you probably went to the Crayola big box of 64 TVs?
Yeah, we had that for a while.
It also has support for Dolby Vision HDR. Do you have that?
No.
Uh-oh. And produce, apparently, I'm going through puberty now, which is very awkward. I couldn't talk at the beginning of the show. I can't talk at the end of the show. In between? Eh.
You're fine.
Nailed it. In between, you nailed it.
The WebOS Smart TV system puts all your favorite shows and movies at your fingertips, and now they're going to look better than ever. Find the full collection of LG OLED TVs at App. Pleasing people since 1936. Oh, I just remembered I'm mad at you guys.
For what reason?
At us?
Yeah.
It's impossible.
Oh. Because there's a rehearsal for the Christmas radio play.
Yes.
Wednesday at 1. Did you try to find a time that's most inconvenient for me? What's the story?
That's inconvenient for me as well.
What do you mean? You're just off the air at 1 o'clock.
Wendy likes to leave at 101.
Yeah.
So, can I tape my rehearsal?
You could. It wouldn't be the same.
Ooh, conference call. You join you in could, on
you
via
can do it by way of conference call if you want.
Skype or FaceTime.
We'd love to have you in person, of course, but do what you have to do.
There's nothing what everybody, nothing people love more than the one guy who's on the teleconference for the rehearsal.
Right.
Well, who can fill in for you? I think they're just doing it for a timing
thing.
Yeah,
Sir John Gielgud is no longer with us. It has to be you.
I just think if I'm at 1 o'clock here, there's going to be way more focus on why is he here at 1 o'clock as opposed to focusing on the play.
Oh. No, you don't have to
be there. On top of
the
fact, I'll doze off by 2.
You'll be fine. Mm. I'll just tell Perry A. Sook that you couldn't be there.
Who is that?
What? Mr. Sook is the
greatest American.
The founder
today.
And the head of Nexstar are likely new owners.
Yes.
If you're not sucking up now, get on board.
Yeah. Suck up to Sook. That's what my button says.
We're back tomorrow, as far as I know. Have a delightful day. Here's Wendy.